Welcome to Imprint, a podcast about creating a home and life you love. I'm Natalie Walton, an interior designer, stylist, and best-selling author focused on an holistic approach to homes. Each week, I'm sharing insights and interviews about the creative process to help you enhance both your interiors and well-being, as well as provide you with the tools and resources to make considered and sustainable choices with all that you create. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Imprint. I'm looking forward to sharing today's conversation with Louise Roche, who many of you will know through her business, Villa Styling. She shares her journey of how she got started in the world of newspapers, magazines, creating catalogs for various brands, and eventually, after getting many requests, started styling and photographing small brands and their spaces and their products, and has now grown to have quite an established and sizable audience on social media and works for a range of clients, styling their spaces, photographing them, and has really made the kind of the life that she wants doing what she loves. So I hope that you enjoy my conversation with Louise. We did have a few little technical issues as we were recording. We've tried to pick those up as much as possible. So please be patient, but I'm sure that you will still enjoy our conversation and get a lot of value out of it. So please enjoy. Hello, Louise. I'm so excited to have you join me today to chat about all things styling and photography and your amazing business as well and learn more about that. I always like to start at the beginning, though, and get a little bit more of an insight into your journey and whether, you know, you were creative as a child. I think there's always these threads in people's stories that kind of indicate, you know, like, it now makes sense. All the pieces of the puzzle fit together. So can you share a little bit about where you grew up, the type of home that you grew up in, and if you were creative as a child?
Oh, thank you, Natalie. It's such a pleasure to be on your podcast. I'm such a huge fan, and yeah, I listen to all of your podcasts, and you have so many amazing people. So I'm super grateful to be here today. But yes, I guess a little intro to me is that, yeah, so I grew up in Brisbane. We've always lived here. We lived over the south side as such, as I call it. And then I met my husband and moved over to the north side of Brisbane now. So yes, I do quite a bit of traveling for work, which is always exciting. But I guess when I was little, I loved to draw. So I've always kind of had that, you know, passion for art and being creative ever since I was little. I think my first ever, I guess, foray into being creative was winning a book prize at school. So I had to, you know, draw and, you know, illustrate and build this little book. And I guess ever since I did that, I just became obsessed with creating books and, you know, magazines and things like that. So I just loved creating then. So I guess, yeah, when I reached high school was like the first, we were kind of the first school that had art and design course at schools, at college. So you could go off to college and learn, basically do your trade. It was, you know, very early days. You know, I was only 15 when I went to college, basically, to do art and design. Because back then you could start school, you know, really young. And my mum popped me off to school when I was very, very tiny. And you're allowed to do it then. So I was a year younger than everyone else in my grade. So I was only 16 when I finished grade 12. I did those last 2 years at the Queensland College of Art while I was at high school. So yeah, I was only 15 and 16, and I'd already done a course called CAD. So we were doing drawing and photography and all of those things. And I basically just lived and breathed art then. It was just a given, I guess, that I would do something creative from there. And it was just, I guess, a matter of, you know, deciding what I wanted to do then. When I finished high school, I kind of, you know, it was kind of, guess it was early days too. Everything was done by hand. So, you know, we're still learning to, you know, put things together, you know, the old school way, paste up and that kind of thing. So it kind of wasn't kosher, I guess, then for a young girl of my age to go out and just be an artist. You know, my mom was like, oh, you're not going to make much money, you know, doing that kind of thing. So you better get a real job as such. So my mom was like, oh, you know, kind of pushed me a bit to do that, which was super cool at the time. You know, I thought, oh no, I've got to get a gut out there and get a job that, you know, earns money. So I was, yeah, super lucky. My mom and dad kind of just, you know, gave me some extra money, and we, you know, went and did a 1 year course at a commercial art training center in Brisbane, and there I did all sorts of design. So we learnt advertising, commercial illustration, campaign building, and all of that kind of thing. So that's where I learnt about marketing and, you know, business branding and all of that. And again, we didn't have the internet then. We didn't even have a computer when I was at college. We had just, yeah, we basically sat in a room and we did, you know, everything through books. You know, you go to the library and find design books and be inspired by those. And you had, you know, amazing people come and visit you and, you know, tell you all about their creative journey and that kind of thing, you know, at college. So, yeah, we're constantly inspired there. But yeah, I had absolutely no training whatsoever in anything digital. It was all done by hand. And yeah, so I did that year there, and then I was just lucky enough that I got offered a job upstairs at the newspaper. There was a newspaper in the same building in Spring Hill as the Commercial Art Training Center, and yeah, they sent their, I guess, top two students at the time up to be interviewed, and yeah, I was lucky enough to score the job. So I went straight from, yeah, at the age of 17, going straight into working for a newspaper. So it was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. But I went basically, yeah, from going, yeah, just, you know, living and breathing art, and then going straight into, yeah, pumping out a newspaper. So I was essentially the last person in the chain. So I had to wait until the, you know, writers had written the story and the girls had typeset them, and the photographers had taken their photos. They come in, then I paste them all down on the board. You know, then I go in the film room, make the film, and then I jump in my Datsun and drive them down to the printer. So we used to stay there for, you know, all hours, you know, until I basically couldn't go home until the, you know, paper was finished. So it was, yeah, some big days. So early days, I kind of got thrown into the, you know, crazy world of publishing and the crazy deadlines and all of that. And I just became obsessed, really. So, yeah, I guess after that, then we, just went basically from one position to the next. I think I was there probably 2-3 years. And then computers started to get a little bit more, a lot of that was still done by hand. And then we had like old Corel Draw and Quark Express and all of those kind of things started to pop up in the industry. So I kind of learnt all of those things the hard way and on the job and that kind of thing. So yeah, it was, I felt like I spent my whole career, I guess, learning on the job with all these new things popping up, you know, technology wise. It was like, oh, we were right, the last set of people, I guess, to do things the old fashioned way. And then our first couple of 2 years on, you know, in our career, that whole industry changed overnight. It just became all digital, printing changed, you know. I went from, yeah, doing it all by paste up to learning, you know, exactly how to do it all on the job. And yeah, it was a lot of hours and very stressful at times, but I guess I thrived on one, being creative, and two, to make these crazy deadlines. And I guess it's kind of shaped, you know, what I do today in a way, and, you know, what I love and I guess how I thrive. So yeah, and I guess I did lots of publications. So I basically, yeah, from there, I just loved magazines and that kind of thing. So I went and did some trade, went and worked for some trade magazines for a while. And then from there, I used to actually work for News Limited for a while. So yeah, it was interesting to be part of that group at the time, and they were going through some massive changes and things then as well here in Brisbane. So I know it was, you know, obviously a very different world to the Sydney world, but it was crazy up here as well as things changed. And and then I went and did. From there, I went to over into like corporate catalog design. So I kind of stuck with making because I just loved making books and things like that. So I went into to making catalogs then, and then I fell more into the marketing and branding for businesses and retail. So I got probably spent about 10 years in that side of marketing, essentially. So holding creative roles and building catalogs for retailers. And I guess it was when I started working for a local homewares company, which was quite big and they're still quite huge and well known today. I started doing their catalogs. Super excited there to, you know, get in and I was always, you know, taking photos, you know, from other people and laying them out and, you know, making all these, books and things like that. And yeah, it was just so much fun. But I guess that was my first introduction to interiors as such. It was, you know, oh, how can we, you know, make these sheets look amazing? And, you know, how can we make this bedroom look amazing? And that was my first introduction, I guess, to studio styling and, my first introduction to Sheridan and, you know, Linen House and all of those amazing brands and, you know, how they would produce their catalogs. I used to scour those and be inspired by those. Blogs just popped up all of a sudden. So, you know, I would spend hours, you know, scrolling the overseas blogs for inspiration, for layout ideas and, you know, color themes and all of those kind of things. So I just, I was absolutely obsessed and so passionate about, you know, making these catalogs, you know, this, you know, making people want to go and buy homewares just I was just absolutely obsessed. And I just spent so many hours. I would, you know, be in at work super early, leave super late, you know, but we had crazy deadlines there just back to back. You know, we started with like 6 catalogs and then it was just going, you know, crazy. So we did more and more catalogs per year. And yeah, it was really, really fun time. And it was, I guess at the same time, it was a massive transition because, Facebook, I guess, popped up all of a sudden and their marketing changed a little bit. And then you sort of started to see businesses go, oh, I need a website. I need to look at retail online and all of that kind of thing. So I was, in working corporate while all of these kind of changes were happening. And, it was then that I met my husband there. And I was quite older by then. I was like in my early 30s when I met my husband. So we kind of, met quite late. And we, ended up, you know, getting married and buying a house out the north side. So that's when it was a little bit too far to drive to get to that job. And I was getting a little bit, I guess, overworked and overwhelmed by all the hours. So I decided, I'll, you know, try and get another job over this side of town. So I did another 4 years, I guess, after that, at a furniture company here, doing the same thing, catalogs, organizing shoots and that kind of thing. So, and then I guess it was then that, when we moved over here and we bought our first house and I, started, you know, our house was quite basic. It still is. It's nothing's fancy. We're still actually in our very first home. We haven't moved anywhere since. But I started designing, our house is super simple and you could just my husband said to me, oh look, you can do whatever you want with it. So I was like, oh okay, no worries. So we decided, we'll start renovating it. Downstairs was just a blank slate. So I was like, oh, one day we just decided we were going to put all these walls up and make downstairs, you know, an office space and that kind of thing. So yeah, we just made that happen. And I was still working then full time. And I decided, oh, you know, I'll just take some photos of my office. And Instagram had just kind of popped up. And I thought, oh, you know, I could see, you know, people were sharing, you know, lots of things. And, you know, I was kind of drifted over to there to look for inspiration, you know, for the catalogs and that kind of thing. And I thought, oh, you know, I'll just join up and, you know, I'll pop a photo of my office up on there. And, you know, next thing you know, my office just went viral, I guess. And that was like a million years ago, it feels like now.
Is that photo still on your Instagram feed?
It probably is, yeah. Yes, it absolutely is.
I'll definitely have to go and check it out. It's interesting what you say about all of those working in the newspaper. I mean, I can relate to that because that's my kind of background. And then, you know, all those studio shoots. And I think that it does teach you, and you sort of flag that it really does teach you to work under pressure and really the value of having a deadline. I sort of say this a lot to people that, you know, I thrive on deadlines. And if I want to get something done, then, you know, I need to give myself a deadline and how much you can actually get done in any given period of time. You know, you can, really, you know, can just get through such a volume of work. So it's interesting to see that that has been like a really big thread in your journey. So continue on. What happened after this image went viral?
Well, I just started to get lots of followers, I guess. And it was like, oh my gosh, I got so excited. I couldn't, you know, and then, it just kind of went from one thing to the next there. And people were like, oh my God, I love your office. And they are sharing it. And they're like, oh, I just love how you shot that and that kind of thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, it was just so much fun, you know, talking to people, you know, and I guess, you know, being a creative as well, I guess, I spent so much of my time just throwing myself, I guess, at my job and the hours and that kind of thing. And I guess you do spend a lot of time, you know, on your own, being creative and that kind of thing. So I guess it was nice for someone like me who's also quiet, I guess, you know, not incredibly social, you know, I'm not a social butterfly as such. So, you know, I'm not always out and about, but it was nice, you know, to meet people through Instagram and talk to them then, you know, and then, yeah, people started saying, oh, you know, can you come and do, you know, shoot my space or, you know, can you shoot my product and that kind of thing. And then, yeah, I was still obviously, you know, I was incredibly nervous, like everyone is, I guess, when they first kind of go out on their own. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, the need was there, I guess, and people loved what I was doing. But I was also scared because we just bought our first home, you know, and I had, you know, basically handed over all of my, you know, all of my life savings just to buy this house. We didn't have much behind us. You know, we're just getting our feet, you know, and the house and that kind of thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, do I do this? You know, do I take a punt? I didn't actually ever really have a thought of, oh, you know, I never had a passion or a dream to go out and work for myself. It kind of just happened, I guess, by people asking me, oh, can you come and do that for me? And I just kind of just thought, oh, you know what? People keep asking me, I'm like, and I was taking more and more sick days and I felt horrible for doing that. So I was like, oh my gosh, I just need to do this. So I just, bit the bullet one day. And yeah, it was funny. One of my, through Instagram very early days, one of my first clients was Shannon from the Dharma Door. And I met her, when she lived here in Brisbane, and I was so lovely to meet her then, and she entrusted me with styling and shooting and doing her marketing. So it was kind of really cool because I got to do all the things that I loved for her and her beautiful products. And she's such a beautiful person. She had stunning products, and it was such a good way to, I guess, you know, take a leap out on my own and do it. So off I went. And I still, you know, I was lucky enough, and another girl reached out to me and said, oh, you know, I work for another furniture company here in Brisbane. We need a stylist. You know, do you want to come and style our catalogs, you know, in our studio one day a week? So I was like, oh, okay, well, that's going to give me the, I guess, soft step out to being on my own. So I gave up my full-time job, accepted that, did one day a week, well, sometimes two. So sometimes I was doing 2 days a week at first. For probably the first 4 to 5 years that I went out on my own, I was still doing maybe 2 days a week doing styling for their catalogs. So that was a good, I guess it took the pressure off a little bit. You know, if I didn't always have the work coming in, you know, I could, you know, I at least had that income each week. So, and it was very similar to my income that I was getting working 5 days a week for someone else anyway. So I thought, oh gosh, this is so good. But the crazy thing was that I never actually once had to stress, even though I did always stress about what was going to happen next week and that. And as you do, you go from having set, you know, this rhythm of, you know, knowing what you're doing week to week, every week for the next year. But then all of a sudden it was an unknown, and it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? How am I going to support us? You know, what am I going to do? But yeah, I did the 2 days, and that was always a good comfort zone, I guess. But then it just snowballed, I guess. And I didn't really get time to, I guess, put anything in place in a way, I guess, business-wise, if that makes sense. I just kind of went out there and did it, and just, yeah, one client led to another client. And yeah, I was doing the 2 days or one day styling there, and then just flat out around it, shooting, you know, shooting or editing or styling, you know, around that. And I guess it just hasn't stopped.
So I want to ask you, before we kind of get into too much detail about all of that, because I definitely want to, you know, learn more about how it's grown. So you went from working, doing kind of graphic design style work, from what I understand, to then working and doing, you know, some styling and helping on these shoots, to then doing photography. So did you learn photography when you were at art school, or is that something that you learnt? I mean, even when you took that photo for your Instagram feed, was that on your phone, or was that with a real, you know, like a proper digital SLR? And I'm just curious. So I'm curious about the photography piece. And then also, how did you work out how much to charge? Because like you said, and, you know, I hear this a lot from students in my course, is that, you know, when you're starting out, and obviously, you know, as you flagged, you had some financial pressures as well, you know, so it wasn't like you could just go out there and charge nothing. But at the same time, you know, I understand that when you're starting out, it can be, you know, sometimes challenging to think, well, what am I going to charge people for this? So how did you work those two? So first of all, about the photography, and then how did you work out what to charge?
Yeah. So, when I was at college, we did, photography old school way. So we learnt, we had, yeah, very basic cameras then, and we did film and that kind of thing. And yeah, that's, I guess, how I, you know, got my first job essentially, was, yeah, doing film. So I kind of took that piece, and then yeah, I had a lot of the jobs, obviously being in the newspaper, then were taking other people's photos and editing them, and, you know, making these amazing layouts and catalogs and that kind of thing. And I kind of really, it became very, I guess, looked really hard at the photos and the photography and the quality and you know, all of those kind of things, because it was also important to what I was trying to achieve, you know, with the magazines or with the catalogs, and how important, you know, the right styling and the right shots and the lighting and all of that kind of thing, you know, is to branding, and, you know, how it makes a client, you know, a prospective, you know, buyer respond and want to buy things. And it always, sometimes used to frustrate me no end because you get photos that were quite hard to work with and I'd be like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? And you know, I just I always loved taking photos, and I guess that was just part of the creative process. And I'd always had cameras and that kind of thing. And yeah, when I bought the house, I had bought a new camera then. And I, the first photos that I took of my studio were on like probably one of Canon's first DSLRs, I think. I did have, yeah, they were quite grainy though. Still, they were, yeah, they were very, very basic, I guess, when you look back at those photos. And even the other day I was looking through some, trying to find some really old photos for a client who finally, after all these years, you know, doing her website and things, and I was like, oh my gosh, some of these photos are, you know, a few years old. And you go right back to the DSLRs even, you know, that we used to use, like the old 5D and that kind of thing, you know. It was like, oh my gosh, it's such a big difference, you know, to the mirrorless ones that we have now. And it's like, oh my gosh, and we used to think that was good then. So it's always been quite fun. But yeah, the first I did photography in that at college, and yeah, put it to the side, I guess, for a while. And then, yeah, just, you know, picked it up again. And, you know, like I said, taught myself essentially how to use the DSLR, you know, and the digital camera and the mirrorless and all of that myself. Cause yeah, it was all, the old school ones by film where we just, you know, used to pop the, you know, Kodak film in the camera and that. So I had all the formal training from that perspective, but yet had to learn teach myself at home how to, you know, how to wrangle the digital side of it. So yeah, and I guess having that all that experience, I guess, in laying out magazines from the other side and looking at photos from that perspective gave me, I guess, a way of looking at doing my own photography then, you know, because I would look at every space essentially as, oh, well, you know, we could put copy up here or we could put copy there. You know, so I tend to look at the shots and I can very quickly walk into a room and go, oh, well, that's a strong shot there. That's not so strong over there. But this is, you know, the 10 or 15 great shots that I know are going to work and make, you know, be great for an editorial or just great shot that someone's going to love, you know, more so than this one over there. And I guess it's all those years of sitting behind the, you know, desk going, looking so intently at all of these and laying out all these layouts and going, no, well, that one doesn't work. This one works, but that doesn't work. So, but yeah, it's, and I guess then, yeah, the hardest thing, I guess, being a photographer then and going out, like I did was working out what to charge, because it is, I guess, still a great unknown. And because I've always been on my own, as such, I didn't ever talk to anyone. I just did it. I still to this day go, oh my God. I mean, some clients say to me, oh, you're too cheap. You know, your pricing's not, you know, you should be, you know, for all the time and effort that you put in, you should be charging more and that kind of thing. And I guess, yeah, it's always been a challenge to know. And I guess I'm always used to going, oh, well, this is what I think people can afford, more so, I guess, than what I value my work at, I guess, in a way. I think sometimes it's, I guess for me, that's kind of been a learning curve too, especially lately. I've kind of gone, oh, you know, I think now with all the things that I've achieved that, yeah, I could probably, you know, pull my prices up a little bit and still be happy, I guess, that people would be willing to pay that. But I guess like everyone, I've kind of run that roller coaster of going, you know, what should I charge? You know, it's always a very tricky one, I guess, as you know.
Did you start out charging an hourly rate and then move to a package? And if you now offer as a package, can you just sort of shine a little bit of a light on what you include in that package as part of it?
So I have always had just kind of a package thing. So more so rather than doing the hourly rate, I've always pretty much just had a half day rate or a full day package essentially. So, you know, I offer actually quite a lot of photos, I guess, in a way for those packages because I've always been about the value. But yeah, I guess just lately too, of me, and I guess Instagram cut anew, and I guess not so much Instagram, but social media, I kind of felt dictated that a little bit as well, because people kind of said, oh no, I need, you know, I've got to have 30 photos. That's only going to be 30 days of avatar, you know, 30 posts or things like that. So I've always kind of tailored my shoots, you know, my packages to be, you know, 30 or 60 photos or 90 photos, you know, for some of the bigger house shoots and that kind of thing. So I've always had kind of those packages in place. But then over the years, as I've done bigger, more commercial jobs, you know, I've done the hourly rate. Then if I felt that suited the project better, yeah, but most times the package thing suits most people, and then yeah, as you know, editorial, that kind of thing, they kind of set the rate. So you have your day rate there or your half day rate there, but yeah, the pricing thing is always I guess the struggle to know, you know. I guess I've never actually, I really wouldn't have a clue what anyone else charges either to do a similar thing. I've just, yeah, put my price, I guess, as it was for what I thought, you know, for what I valued my time at and what I thought it was worth to each client. And yeah, I do specific quotes for some jobs because, you know, when you have, you know, some might just be a walk-in and shoot, but very rarely most people are coming to me to ask to help them with the styling as well as the photography as well. So I've kind of, the packages suit the basic ones where, you know, we might just, you know, I might just walk in and, you know, just do a few little styling things here and there, and then do the shoot as well. So those packages are tailored to cover that kind of thing. So with interior designers and things, they've had, you know, they'll have generally done the actual design work and that kind of thing, I guess. And, you know, they'll come to us and say, oh, you know, can you, you know, grab our, you know, project imagery and that kind of thing. And yeah, I guess it's always been, I guess, tricky in a way to sometimes find that happy balance of me not over-styling, I guess, and taking away from what they've done. And I guess it has been a little bit of education, I guess, from both avenues, I guess, to go, okay, well, you bring in, you know, you do the styling how you would do it, you know, because that's the service if you're offering it to your client, you know, and I'm happy to come in, you know, and, you know, tweak that styling, you know, to the photos to make as you know, as everyone does. But I guess, you know, sometimes you've had those ones where they'll have taken everything out and then go, oh, can you put everything back in? And it's like, oh, well, that's kind of not necessarily how we really should be doing this, because then it's my work, not your work. So, you know, it's always that being that that's for me has been a bit of a learning curve over the time as well, to kind of educate, I guess, the client to go, especially if they're a designer, you know, to, because it still has to be true to their skills and what they've created for their client, you know, and as you do, you know, like you do for an editorial, you know, you're there to enhance the space and add the extra layers and those kind of things. And, you know, and that's, I guess, it's been interesting then to try and work out then, okay, well, what do you charge then for that level of service as well? Because sometimes you'll get there and there will actually be nothing there or a lot less than what you thought. And you've got to then put in a lot more than what you thought you had, you would have to, and you're spending a lot more time working on the styling during the day, rather than focusing on the photography as such. And I guess for me, that's been a big learning curve then, because to do the two to at once on my own was always quite, a big day. It was quite a challenge. But I loved it, and I still got still got the great outcome at the end. But it would often, come at, a lot of work either prior, running around grabbing things and taking them in. Over the time the industry has changed a lot more now, and designers are a lot more excited and more involved in doing all of those finishing touches. So it's been good lately to have more that will have all of the layers there, and then I can just, bring in a couple of extra little vases or a couple of extra cushions or things like that, just to, pad them out and to get those editorial style, shots that they're looking for their folio. So yeah, that's been interesting. But yeah, working out what to charge for the time, to do that is interesting, because you don't just have the time that you are there on site. You've got the hours that go in prior to look through and go, okay, well, I might need, this extra vase or whatever. And I'm lucky that I have, over the years too, built up a massive prop library. So I have a very big shed of props that we can call on, and I do have, I feel just about something for every look now. So it is quite easy for me just to backfill those little holes, in the jobs as we go. There's those jobs for the interior designers. There's the ones for the builders where, they just want the more architectural style ones. But I still like to take along, the extra vases and, some greenery, and, still give them those little bit of lifestyle elements, because I think, that's what works on social media. People want to see those layers of lived in, those layers of living essentially. And I've always found that that's what's worked on socials. So it's been, a bit of a learning curve over the years to work with different clients in different perspectives like that, and build those layers and work out what works and what doesn't work. It's interesting.
So what would you say then, could you roughly break down, I know you've mentioned you started with Dharmador, they're a product-based business, you've mentioned working for interior designers, I know you get some of your work featured in publications. What percentage, you've just mentioned builders, roughly, what is the breakdown, do you think, percentage-wise for different styles of clients of the work that you do?
So the breakdown of our workload would be, over the last probably 12 months, it's been about 30% editorial work. And then I have just recently done a interior styling project, which has just been furniture and accessories. And I've done probably two or three projects like that this year. So they take up quite a lot of time, to focus on those and work through, all of the purchasing and then installing. So I've done one big one for a commercial client, which will be out next year, which is super exciting. And I've done a couple for some local homeowners, which were really amazing. They were featured in editorials as well. And then the rest of the work is, working for interior designers, builders. And then we also still do a small portion of production. I'm trying to kind of steer away a little bit from the smaller product shoots. I guess early days I used to do lots of those, which were fun, but now I guess my focus has been more so on bigger commercial product shoot. I have some clients that I used to work for in a corporate context who are now clients of mine in my own business that I do product shoots for, which are furniture related, which is amazing. To still can work for them and support their businesses from a branding and marketing perspective. And then there's also another, homewares retailer that we've had on board for basically 8 years, who are based in Western Australia. And every year they send us their entire catalogue of homewares, which are cushions and linens. They send them over to us from WA and we shoot their winter and summer catalogue. And, it's so rewarding to work with clients who trust us, and are loyal to us, I guess. Who just know that we know their brand. We produce, full-on catalogue shoots for them. And it's just easy, for them, to send it all to us and we look after everything and it just goes back and it's just super simple, easy process. So yeah, I guess because I have got, so many return and consistent clients that are product-based, now I guess I'm a little bit more selective in taking on new clients in that respect, because I kind of find once they do come on board, they'll stick with us. I've kind of been humming and hurrying, as to how big, I grow my business in a way, because it's always been just myself who's done, I'll do the admin and I'll do the editing and I'll do the organizing and then the styling and then the shooting. And it is pretty much 24/7 job for me. I don't really get much rest, and I haven't still. And a lot of people are always like, and a lot of amazing clients that I have are like, you really need some more help, Louise, and that kind of thing. So I guess when I first got my, first chance at doing an editorial shoot for Home Beautiful, the lovely girls there hooked me up with Kylie Jacks, and we did our first shoot together. And as you know, Kylie's a stylist and a writer. And, we just hit it off and amazing friends now as well. She's been amazing in that she's come on board with me in a way in the capacity of, we do the editorial shoots together. And then when we get these big commercial product shoots now, we'll work together on those, and that kind of takes the pressure off for me, because I know that Kylie understands, my business direction and the kind of styling and the layers. And we are basically two peas in a pod anyway. When we're on site, I'll have already thought of something. I'm like, oh yeah, that, I don't even have to say that needs to go to the left or right or anything anymore. Kylie's already one step ahead of me. So, we are a great little team, and, I love working with her. So yeah, Kylie's been amazing to come join me on my journey for editorial, for product shoots, and then project shoots for builders. When we need to take in quite a lot of layers, Kylie can do a lot of the running around and help organize all the styling and that kind of thing. Between us both, we'll organize everything, can get there and get it done. But otherwise, I still pretty much still spend 24/7 doing all the admin and that kind of side of it, just because I really, really need to learn, to say thank you but no thanks sometimes. And I still take on, far more than I can handle for, myself and Kylie. And then my friend Joanne come back from overseas recently, which was perfect timing, because I was doing a really big styling job and she jumped back in to help, get that over the line. It was down the Gold Coast and I'm in Brisbane and I'm here running around, trying to keep on top of all the shoot bookings and things that I had and do this crazy big styling job at the same time. And she was amazing. She, drove backwards and forwards to that house and, did all the logistics side of that for me. And, and it's just us three really now in a very haphazard, way. Like I said, I fell into doing this business, and I am the creative person and I love spending all that time creating, and my brain just tick, tick, tick is all the time on, we've got this job, on Friday. So, I'll have sorted all that out, run around, done all that kind of thing. I'm probably not the best at keeping on top of the communication side of it, though. I tend to go, okay, well, I've got these things on this week. So I talk to those clients get those jobs done. And, you know, sometimes you have these bigger ones on and I can't always be on the phone or the emails and that as much as I like. And I feel like, yeah, sometimes that kind of side of it is always a struggle. And it's hard to keep up with everyone at once. And I do feel the pressure from that perspective, I have to say, a lot. And I guess there are only so many hours a day, as we all know. And I do work around the clock. And if I'm in the car sometimes, you know, we drive a fair way, you know, from North Brisbane. A lot of the work is down the Gold Coast or in Byron or up the Sunshine Coast, primarily, which has always been good. I mean, I love doing the drive, and I guess the drive then is my sometimes 1 hour or 2 hours out of a crazy day where my brain just gets to take five and listen to some music or some podcasts and chill out for a minute. So that's pretty much, I guess, my crazy creative life. And I guess a lot of clients that I've worked with for a long time understand that and appreciate that and just roll with it, which I'm super grateful for.
You definitely need to get yourself an assistant, like an administrative assistant. We'll chat after this podcast. I'll tell you what you need to do. But before we get into the final questions, I guess, you know, you're out there doing the styling work, doing the photography work. What advice would you give to somebody who wanted to work in the world of styling? What would be your advice to them?
I guess just to get out there and give it a go. It is so rewarding to do what you love and get to do it every day. You know, you meet so many amazing people. And, you know, I have pretty much always said yes to everything. You know, I've done the hard yards over the years. You know, I spent 20 years in corporate learning so many different things, you know, and yeah, while it wasn't my job to do styling specifically at the time, I was so passionate about it and I pushed to learn more about it. You know, I just engulfed my life, I guess, in learning about it, you know, researching it, giving it a go, you know, and I think if you've got the passion, you know, the passion will take you, you know, where you want to go, I think. And yeah, you've just got to get out there and give it a go. And yeah, you just don't know who you might meet one day that, you know, gives you a leg up. You know, I remember for a long time, I always had a dream of, you know, being, while I was always in, you know, doing publications and that, in a commercial, aspect, I had a dream of, you know, I had done plenty of press ads, you know, for Home Beautiful or Real Living in that years ago, you know, I had done that. I was like, oh yeah, I'd see my work in there. But my dream was to have an actual shoot, either it was going to be my house or someone else's house. And I had that dream and I stuck with it. And I pestered the editor, I guess, back in the early days. I had a beautiful home that I had shot and I was like, you know, this has to be, I can just see it on the pages. And all it took was the one yes, and the lovely editor at the time, he said, Louise, you can do this, you've got it, just go and shoot it and we'll run it. And I was so grateful, and yeah, I never looked back. And I guess that was like the one time that I kind of backed myself and just thought, you know, this one's definitely it, you know. And I pushed, and I was, yeah, it's just so happy when it came through. But yeah, you know, like everything, there were the days then that I wanted to give up, and you know, there was the hard things when things, you know, didn't. There's been the expectations, I guess, the ones that you put on yourself, and then the ones that clients put on you, too. And you know, you can only ever do your best with what you have. You know, I think at the moment there might be, I think, a lot of pressure. You know, you see all these beautiful, stunning homes, you know, in the very high-end market, which is great. But you know what? I never started out capturing those kind of homes. You know, I was just capturing very simple basic homes. My home is very simple. I think there might be a little bit of a misconception out there that I have absolutely, you know, huge home or something like that, but mine's just a very humble home in the north of Brisbane, in the least exciting suburb that you can imagine. But I made it, you know, a little coastal oasis, I guess you could say. And I did it, you know, in my spare time, you know, which was often very little. You know, we've been plugging away at this house for probably 10, we've been here for 10 years, I think. And my own renovation and thing has just, yeah, always just been done on the weekends when my husband, you know, got into it. And then I've literally made, you know, design decisions on the fly. I'll walk in after a shoot and he's knocked a wall out when I was lying in bed one day and said, oh, we should cut an arch through and join these two rooms together. And then he's literally done that the next morning. Like, I've come back from a shoot and there it is done. So our own house and what happens here has just happened on a dime and on a whim without much really thought.
Yeah. Oh no, it's so good. I mean, it's so good to hear. All right. So I just want to get into the final questions that I ask everyone. So the first one is, which five words best describe you?
I would say passion. Yes, I would say that I am, passionate, driven, and a quiet achiever, I guess.
What's the best lesson you've learned?
I guess just sticking with it and not to give up. I guess, yeah, I've just, you know, worked hard and worked a lot of hours through a lot of things, you know, and yeah, I think, oh my gosh, the lessons I've learned from doing this on my own, I guess there's always, you know, I guess that thing where I've never spoken to another photographer to, you know, find out what they charge or things like that. You know, I feel like we've learned all the lessons on the job the hard way over the years. But it's the lessons have been huge sometimes, and yeah, you just bank them and go, okay, yeah, well, I've learnt now, I won't do that way again. I'll, you know, do this process a different way. But yeah, I guess that's one of the hardest things to be going out on your own. It is quite isolating, I guess. You know, I've never been on site with another photographer. You know, to see how they do things. It's only kind of actually just recently that I opened my studio here at home. I made my own little studio space and opened it to other creatives. And it's been, yeah, really interesting and exciting to meet other photographers and kind of actually opened up the opportunity where I could step back from being a photographer in a couple of instances where they've asked me to do the styling in my own space for their product, and they've had their own photographer here who's then looked at lighting and that kind of thing. So yeah, only just in the last couple of weeks I've done that in that capacity, and yeah, it was really exciting to see and talk to another photographer who's been in, you know, campaign marketing and worked on some amazing, you know, jobs and that over the years herself. He's around my age, he's experienced, you know, similar things. So yeah, I've done everything over the years on my own. And yeah, kind of, I feel like all of a sudden I, you know, get to my late 40s now and go, oh, I'm to kind of feel like I'm finally getting some of the things that I had dreamed of happening, you know, in the business, and then finally experiencing some of the things. And I guess that's one of the biggest lessons is that, you know, I didn't pop up yesterday. It's, you know, it hasn't taken, you know, I'm not an overnight success by any means. You know, it's been a long, hard slog, and yeah, and I think, you know, you stick with it, you get where you want to get, and you get all those wins that you're hoping for. So
Well, that leads us nicely into the next question, which is what's your proudest achievement?
I guess my proudest achievement was when we got three covers in a row for Home Beautiful. So we had the November cover, the December Christmas cover, and then the January cover. That was just completely unexpected, and then it just a dream come true. I remember when we got our first, like when I got my first cover, and I just, you know, I wasn't expecting it at all, and it was of course like the last image that I ever thought would make a cover shot. I just thought it was the funniest thing, because we got to this house, it was up in Harvey Bay, and me and Kylie had driven there, and you know, we're all loaded up, you know, as you know, and Kylie jumped out, and I said to Kylie, oh, you know, you want to start unloading the things, and I'll just quickly run across the road and take just the quick photo of the front facade, because that's just such a beautiful front shot, as we do, you know, do a portrait, do a horizontal shot, it's literally 2 seconds, and then we spent the entire rest of the day, you know, doing all the styling and inside and making all of those beautiful things.
And what's been your best decision?
Probably making my studio. My little studio it's been just amazing. In the last few months, I've released that to everyone. And like I said, it's been exciting to meet different creatives and experience different things there. And it just super exciting.
What are you passionate about? Oh, sorry, who inspired you? Let's go with that one first.
I couldn't say, I guess, one person, but I guess any woman who's gone out on their own, you know, to start a business inspires me, because I know, all the struggles and all the, you know, things that you have to go through. So I find every woman that I think I've met that's gone out and tried to start, you know, or started and is, you know, working through their own business, is just inspiring. There's, you know, like Miriam Fanning from MIM Design. I'm a huge fan of hers, and I love listening to her on podcasts. So she's always, inspired me, I guess. You know, every conversation she has is always just amazing. So, yeah.
Great. What are you passionate about?
Just styling, creating spaces, and making things. I just, love making things.
And what dream do you still want to fulfill?
I would love to be in Belle Magazine or Vogue Magazine. That's still on my wish list.
It'll happen. What are you reading? Do you have a book by your bedside table or coffee table book?
I do. I have The Artist's Way. I read it years and years ago, and I noticed that they just refreshed it and re-released it. So I grabbed a new copy and I'm reading it again, because I just loved it so much the first time.
And what are you listening to? Which are the podcasts you like to listen to on those long drives?
Well, I love listening to yours, of course. And I love the Interior Design Collective, IDECO, from the States. I love all the people and designers that she interviews. And then there's another one here. It's Office Talk by Dave Sharp. And that's more of an architectural design one. He's had some amazing, I've listened to, I think he interviewed Miriam Fanning, and I just love his interviews and listening. He's had a few photographers on there, so I've enjoyed listening to those on his. So yeah, they're my favorites at the moment.
And finally, what piece of advice would you give to your younger self?
Just to, I guess, be more assertive, I guess. And I guess I wish, you know, I had backed myself earlier, I guess, because I waited until I was quite a lot older to do many things in life, I feel. I think that probably would be the best thing. And I think moving forward, I would, you know, I guess taking more of a proactive approach, I guess, to doing things now rather than waiting, you know, for things essentially to happen or all that kind of thing. So I think that's the biggest advice, is that I, you know, should have, I guess, taken the leap earlier, backed myself a bit more. But don't get wrong, I still do that at times now. I go, oh no, but I have learned that I can do this and I can carry on and everything will be all right.
Well, thank you so much, Louise. It's been so great and really interesting to learn more about your journey. And you've got the beautiful images on Instagram. I'm sure many of the listeners will be familiar with your Instagram, Villa Styling. And of course, we'll put links in the show notes to all of those things. And yeah, it's just really lovely to kind of get behind the scenes to learn a bit more about you. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Natalie, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All of the links and info for this episode are at nataliewalton.com/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so that you can get a direct download of the latest episode. And I really appreciate when you take a minute to rate and review, as well as share the love with someone you know who might benefit from this episode, or on social media. If you'd like to access a range of free resources, come visit my website, nataliewalton.com. Thank you to Jaeger Media for producing this podcast. And I would also like to acknowledge the people of the Bundjalung Nation where it was recorded and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. I look forward to connecting again soon. I'm Natalie Walton, and you've been listening to Imprint.